Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Hope for the Caregivers. We're glad you're with us. 800-688-9522 if you want to be on the show. We've got a special guest that's coming on every so often. I'm going to have her on pretty regularly. And this is Tracy Maxfield from British Columbia. She is a dementia care specialist, an RN for 30. Tracy, how long have you been doing this? 30 years?
35 years.
Longer than I've been a caregiver, she's been doing this. So is there any wonder why I bring her on here? We had such a marvelous time with you last time. We want to have you on as a regular guest. Thank you for being willing to do that. And I want to just hit quickly a couple of tough topics right now. Dementia, caregiving, and the holidays. And I'm going to throw you into the deep end of the water and let you just walk us through some of those things and some practical things you can offer to those who are in that right now.
Well, I think the holidays, especially regardless of which faith you follow, when you're with a person with dementia, I think you want, everyone keeps thinking, oh, well, let's do this Christmas. Let's this be the best ever. And I think what caregivers need to do is really take a step back and look at what the meaning and what the significance of the holiday is for them and for their loved one. Because in the early stages of dementia, usually there's only very minor changes that would need to occur. The person can usually adapt and enjoy the particular traditions and the festivities that go on. But when the person with dementia is progressing into that middle to advanced stage, and that's where you may see some symptoms as agitation or aggression, sundowning, which is similar to what we reviewed on the show before, where as soon as it starts to get maybe dark or late in the afternoon, their behaviors change. And so for the person with dementia, a holiday is meaningless in that respect. Behaviors and the dementia will still continue, except having lots of extra stimuli could actually aggravate their behaviors more. And so that doesn't mean that the holidays have to be put on hold. I think what's really important for the caregiver is to sit down with family and friends, people that they usually share their holiday traditions with, and kind of make out a mini plan. You don't want everyone coming over at the same time on the same day. You want to think about maybe staggering things. It's better to have small, frequent gatherings than have one big gathering. Because remember, the person with dementia is going to be overwhelmed. Too many faces, too many people that they're trying to remember, too much noise. Everything that creates stimulation will put them into that flight, fright, fight mode, and the emotions will start to run rampant, which is going to be so extremely stressful, not only for them, but more so for the caregiver that's trying to rush around making everyone feel good and getting everyone to relax. So maybe a good thing would be to delegate tasks. Instead of having your Christmas meal late in the day, maybe go for it earlier in the day. So you want to try and concentrate and have things primarily earlier in the morning, around lunchtime, mid-afternoon. And then as the day progresses and you head towards evening, that's when you start slowing down things and going with that internal rhythm that the person with dementia has. It's important to try and keep to as much of a routine as possible, but introducing small things. So it may be that if you feel that it's going to be too overly noisy and busy going to church, maybe on Christmas Day or on Christmas Eve, then consider maybe having somebody videotape it and then come back to the home to play it, or even watching one of the religious shows on TV. So the both of you can still participate and enjoy that, but not go through the stress of having to leave the home, traveling, trying to deal with all the people and obviously the well wishers, and then get back home.
You know, I love that, Tracy, because I think we feel this obligation that we've got to get to church. Most churches, and or at least I'd like to think so, will work something out to come visit you if you're homebound and if it's too much. And if your pastor or church or ministry team at your church won't do that, you need to think about getting a different church, because that is a real blessing for the church to be able to participate in that. And if they're not willing to do it, then that church, I kind of question the priorities of that church. That is a very good, thank you for that, Tracy. That is awesome. And I want to hit back on these routines, because I got to squeeze in some calls here. But sure. You said stagger the visits. I want to repeat this a little bit. Stagger visits. And I love that, Tracy, because so many people are thinking, we got, like you said at the beginning, we got to make this the best Christmas ever. And, you know, that's too much to put on somebody who has dementia. That's just too much. So stagger the visits and let people come in. Delegate the task. By the way, Tracy, aren't you impressed that I was writing this thing while you were talking this? I was writing everything you're saying, by the way. So, earlier activities. So don't do Christmas dinner, supper at you know, 7 o'clock. It's just not going to happen. That's a recipe for disaster. And then Absolutely. Slow down towards the evening. And then if you're going to introduce something into it, do it with very, very simple things to make sure you don't overwhelm the routine.
Absolutely.
All right. And then you had the church thing. Consider staying at home if it's just too much to get out of the routine. But I'm going to throw in that ask members of the church if they will come and bring a little bit of Christmas to you in the home. I know that the choir at our church will come and sing. The whole choir will show up at shut-ins to sing for them if wanted, if requested, and which is one of the things I admire so much about our music program in our church. So, all right, one more.
I think what may be a good idea is to consider either purchasing or maybe seeing if you can borrow some noise-canceling earphones. And so maybe if you have like a personal MP3 player or something that you can already tape record, maybe their very favorite Christmas carols or any particular music that you find helps them to relax, or even let them sit in front of an old black and white movie that was a particular favorite and put the headphones on. If there are some children or maybe some social chatter that may aggravate the person with dementia, just having that opportunity for them to still listen to some very happy music and or alternatively watch something on television but can just hear the words, it will enable them to still participate in Christmas but not become stressed at the noise that's going around. Just sometimes, you know, people can get a little excited and maybe three people are chatting at the same time. That's too much for them to process. But allowing them to have their quiet time where they can go and listen to carols or just watch a favorite show on TV and have the headphones so they don't find their attention is drifting when they're trying to process other noises that are coming from different directions. Lots of people have found that is very, very helpful, especially at birthday parties and around Christmas festivities, because then the person doesn't feel isolated. They're still doing something they enjoy. And what lots of families have actually said is watching them sing along to the music that they're listening with their headphones and tapping their feet and clapping their hands is actually a gift to them. And for the family to see that. And so that's another suggestion that maybe some families want to consider, especially if they're having young children coming over or if they have a couple of guests that they know may be a little talkative or have a higher pitched voice.
You know, these are just amazing suggestions, Tracy, that you've brought to us, and I'm very grateful for this. You know, I think that the thing I like what you said is that, again, we put this unreasonable pressure on ourselves to create the most memorable Christmas that we can because we're afraid it may be our last one or whatever. But that's really not the right direction to take, is it?
No. I think it's embracing just being with the person and enjoying that person's company. And if it's just the two of you, then you can sit and read from the Bible, or you can sing together or listen to music. If there's a group of you and you find that you know, the person with dementia may not be as interactive because they're in a more advanced stage, but you don't want to isolate them into a different room or put them to bed because it's not time. Then some headphones with some music. There's been so many videos lately on YouTube of people with dementia that when they hear music, it awakens their soul, and they and everyone sees the person within blossom. And I think lots of people have said it's been a wonderful gift to see maybe their husband, who's been unusually quiet for months, and music goes on, and the next thing, his feet is tapping away, and he's playing with his hands and clapping, and you can see that it's moving him. And to families and caregivers, that's a gift because it shows they're there. They're still there.
Well, we had a guest on, John, you remember these folks that came on, and they have this whole thing that they do where they will sit down with loved ones and folks with dementia and so forth, and they will come up with a song playlist that they will program just for that person that's based on their history, their stuff, and they'll be able to put that on, and it's incredibly calming, therapeutic. It's better than taking prescription drugs.
It's an end run around so many of our defenses.
You can't OD on music.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I think it's even covered under all major insurance providers is you could listen to music.
It soothes the soul. I've always been a huge proponent of music to help anyone at any time. It evokes a memory that makes them feel good. And then you start seeing the person you remember. Little bits come out, and that's actually so lovely to see.
I remember I've gone to several nursing homes over the years, and I would play for members there, and I would watch them perk up when I would play a favorite hymn or something they haven't heard in some time. And they may be just staring listlessly out at the window or whatever, and then all of a sudden they'll start singing with me when I start playing it. And it is so moving to watch that and realize the mystery of music and how it does that. Hans Christian Andersen said, you know, where words fail, music speaks. And I really believe that. You know, John, if there was only someone who had made a CD called Songs for the Caregiver. Oh, wait a minute. That's me. I did that. So.
Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back.
Well, I do the best I can. But I do the best I can with what I got. But, Tracy, listen, I've got to jump to the phones and take some calls in. But I want you to know how grateful I am that you're not only calling in today, but that you're going to be a regular caller because you bring such a wealth of wisdom to this issue. And we're going to put this out on the blog post. And what's the easiest way for people to reach you, Tracy? And I know we've been working on getting you a better website, but what's the easiest way to reach you? I may have to build you my own little page on my website for you.
Just if you just put my email on the blog post, then they can email me anytime, and I will respond immediately.
I will do so, and we'll have this out available at caregiverswithhope.com. Tracy, Merry Christmas, and thank you for offering a lifeline to so many folks right now who are really struggling with this. And you are just a true blessing, and I'm so grateful. I can't wait to talk to you next month, and we'll have more to talk about. And thanks for being willing to come on the show on a regular basis.
You're very welcome, and Merry Christmas to you and Gracie and to all your listeners.
Thank you so much. You too.
I'm Gracie Rosenberger. 20 years ago, I walked for the first time on two artificial legs. And I'll never forget that day. That day, I not only walked, but I happened to see a documentary about Princess Diana's work with amputees in Southeast Asia. Watching her with people who now looked just like me, I knew in my heart God was calling me to reach fellow amputees with practical help through prosthetic limbs and the life-changing message of the gospel. Since 2005, we've done just that through Standing with Hope. It's the Evangelical Prosthetic Limb Outreach my husband Peter and I founded. By training and equipping local workers in developing countries, we are changing lives one leg at a time. We also collect used limbs, and we work with inmates at a local prison. They volunteer to disassemble the limbs in order to recycle the usable parts. A woman with a broken body working with broken lives in a prison to reach other broken lives in order to point to the one who was broken for us. That's what's happening every day at Standing with Hope. And we invite you to participate with us. Go to standingwithhope.com, please, and learn how you can get involved. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and by God's grace, I am Standing with Hope.
For more information, visit standingwithhope.com.